Almost £15 million has been paid to MLAs in salaries since the collapse of Stormont. The North Down MP, Lady Herman, has told the Commons it is unsustainable and indefensible that MLAs get their full salaries while schools and hospitals are under so much pressure. Obviously, this is something that you will want to talk about today. 03030 80 55 55. The former special advisor, Brendan Mulgrew, with us today. Good morning to you, Brendan.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. And Alan McQuillan, former member of the panel that used to set MLA pay. Morning to you, Alan.
Good morning.
Good morning. Look, you know, I'm not going to present first up the populist view, Alan, that might come from some of our callers: stop their pay, scrap their pay, these people are useless, because they're not. They're some of the most intelligent people we have. They're experienced. And if you stop your pay, their pay, you lose that experience in Northern Irish politics.
I think that's absolutely right. But the point is, we need an effective government. We need a government that will work for the people of Northern Ireland, and we haven't had that. And even if you look back over the history of the Assembly and some of the things that has delivered in the really big areas that people really feel in their everyday life, like education and the health service, both our education and health services are in a mess, and that's the legacy of decisions in past Assemblies. So I want an Assembly here that works for everybody, but this one hasn't, and that's my problem.
Brendan?
Stephen, there's a couple of points if I can get through them, and I probably am standing against the populist call for scrap the pay, sack the MLAs. The fact is that we elected these MLAs. People voted for the MLAs that are and the parties that are in position. And before the last Assembly election, parties took certain positions. And of the two biggest parties, one said, we're not going into government without an Irish Language Act. There were other issues too, but that's what they said. Sinn Féin said that. And the DUP said, we're not going to concede on the Irish Language Act. And they are the parties that got the majority votes. In fact, they are sticking to the positions that they said they were going to take. So we have, as a people, the stalemate that we voted for. Now, of course, it's wrong. There should be a government. They should be talking to each other at the very least. They're not. That's all wrong. But we have the political stalemate that we voted for. And the second thing is, you take your average backbench MLA. I'm sitting here in the south of Bath. Claire Bailey comes to mind. Claire Bailey's an MLA who, I don't know what she did beforehand. She may have left a job to seek election, and I admire anyone who puts their hand to stand for election. People do get their livelihoods out of this. And again, it might be popular to say, so what, scrap their pay. People, like the rest of us, pay their mortgages, they provide for their kids. Is it fair for Claire Bailey to stick with that random example, who has zero influence over where the Assembly sits or not? Undoubtedly does good work, runs an office here in South Belfast, provides a service to her constituents. Is it fair to her to scrap her pay, to sack her as an MLA because other parties, for which she has no control, can't do a deal and get the Assembly up and running? And the third thing is, we either have a political infrastructure in Northern Ireland or we don't. Now, the minute we do, it's moribund, it's not working, it's the wrong type of political infrastructure, but it's there. If we scrap MLA's pay, we will lose people to a career in politics. The only two big parties that could survive the funding and the withdrawal of salaries, the withdrawal of everything that goes behind the funding of political infrastructure, are Sinn Féin and the DUP. Now, we will get an Assembly back sometime. It could be 6 months, it might be 1 year, it might be 2 years.
It could be 6 years.
It could be 6 years, and it will be prefaced by an Assembly election. Now, do we want to create a political wilderness where only the bigger parties have their resources, their personnel and their finance to survive? Because in that case, we go into an Assembly election with an absolutely cast iron outcome, because we'll only have two parties remaining. Do we want the political infrastructure in Northern Ireland, or do we not? I think we do.
Michael's in Newton Abbey, first call of the day. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. Let's just cut the chase. The reality to it is we have a gutless, spineless government who are fearful of introducing direct rule, which would give the power back to politicians and release monies, etc. And that's the bottom line. We can blame as many local politicians as you want on whether you want to call RHI or whatever. The reality is, for 2.5 years, we have been left in limbo by a government who are petrified of offending.
Have you not been left in limbo by your local politicians here, who cannot find a way of working with each other, and who some might argue, who benefit from the division, who benefit from the disagreement, because it polarises politics in Northern Ireland, and that's what wins some of those party votes?
Stephen, We are forever hearing from...
Fight against the DUP, Sinn Féin might say. The DUP might say, stop Sinn Féin. And so we go on.
Yes, because of the reality is there's red lines in the nationalist community in respect to the Irish language. There is the Democratic Unionist Party who are sitting and have said repeatedly that they're ready to go in without red lines. But yet we have a government who are blatantly ignoring those two positions. And that is a reality.
Well, look, I've said this before and I'll say it again. How you've positioned that there, that Sinn Féin have a red line but the DUP don't, you could easily, if you chose to, spin that to the DUP's red line is they won't concede to an Irish Language Act.
No.
So, you know, it's again, just too you're simplistic. You're doing it again. You're choosing one side and so you're running away with it.
No, I'm not. So are you. You are bringing in, you're raising an issue. The Democratic Unionist Party have repeatedly said, let's get back into Stormont.
Of course they have. They've said it.
Finishing point statement. They have said that, and they are prepared. They have said to talk and to negotiate and talk about other things, including, and I know this,
well,
including where or what the...
But my point to you is, and it's not for me to say whether they're right or wrong or whatever, but my point to you is you could as easily read that the DUP does have a red line as you're saying they don't. Their red line is possibly that they're not prepared to agree to an Irish Language Act before they go in.
Well, I'm disagreeing with you based on all the remarks, all the comments that have been made by the Democratic Unionist Party.
They have
repeatedly said that.
I think there's also, Alan McQuillan, possibly a class issue here. And I'll tell you why I say that. Because an MLA's salary, what is it, 40-odd grand a year? It's maybe more, actually. Much is it, Alan?
Yeah. £50,000,
right? I think that quite a few people are on such good salaries these days that they forget that to a wide part of our population, 50 grand is an astonishingly high amount of money. There'll be quite a few people, Alan, listening to this programme, and they'll be earning 16, 17, 18, 19, 20,000 pounds. So they're looking at 50 grand a year for people that are not in an assembly, and it's a lifetime's money. Now, that 50,000's been reduced, hasn't it? Because by a third.
I can't remember where it is. By about a third or half.
But 33. Reduce it by a third. £33,000 is what some people have to work all year round for, 10 hours a day.
In fact, when the panel was set up, we immediately we looked in detail at what MLS did, the responsibilities they had and the skills they needed. And we immediately gave them a large pay raise, because we felt they were underpaid. And that was very unpopular at the time. We got a lot of abuse for it. But it was what was fair and was reasonable. And the nature of the work they do, and many of them are extremely competent and well-motivated, working very hard. So when they're in there and while they're working, they are definitely worth that $50,000 they're earning in their corner.
Stephen, could I go back to my original point?
One second, Michael. I want to bring Billy in the Shankill in. Morning, Billy.
Hello, Stephen.
Go ahead, Billy. Thanks for calling.
My idea is they've been paid for 1,015 days now, right? They've already had received that money. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, bring them in and don't pay them for 1,015 days. How does that sound?
But Billy, how are they going to pay their mortgage?
Well, I don't know.
Well, why are you laughing at me, though? How are they going to pay their mortgage? How are they going to feed their kids? These MLAs are citizens within our community like the rest of us. They've bills.
I think myself, what they should do is, look, just close it down and the money you save, put it out. Now, did you not notice that the nurses are threatening strikes? Now, surely it would be better to spend that money on nurses, hospitals, education and schools. Now, it's a no-brainer.
There is so much. You say close it down, Billy, right? There is so much that we could avail of local expertise on.
Right.
You know, you're living on the Shankill, is that right?
That's right.
Okay. To improve I was up the Shankill the other day.
Right.
To improve housing on the Shankill, young Protestant boys, they are behind. relatively speaking, in their education and their life chances. You know, are government in Northern Ireland looking at something like that and being able to legislate to improve the lives of that young generation on the Shankill, for example? The health outcomes of our population here in Northern Ireland. My goodness, the opportunity, if Boris Johnson's deal does go through, to position Northern Ireland as somewhere which can trade effortlessly into the Republic, effortlessly into these trade deals that the UK may do for the rest of the world. Some bigger thinking around that, if Boris Johnson's deal goes through. All of these different things, Billy, and we don't have a coordination around government in Northern Ireland to do it.
Well, what happened on Monday? There was two laws passed in Westminster, and they didn't consult Stormont. So actually, that means they've actually jumped the gun on Stormont. Do you get what I mean now?
Yeah.
Well, we don't, that proves we don't need them. Okay.
Thanks, bye. Billy. Morning to you. Ross Hussey, former Ulster Unionist Party MLA. Morning, Ross.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you. Nice to hear from you. What do you think then? $15 million's been paid to MLAs in salary since the collapse of Stormont.
I was strongly of the view within 6 months of Stormont not returning that the salary should have been stopped at that point. You have to hold some sort of account, and the parties are not being held to account now. Obviously, I could argue that the Ulster Unionist Party want to go back into Stormont, but the DUP and Sinn Féin are holding out, and for nearly 3 years they have not been returning to Stormont. Their job is to legislate, and they're not doing it. Now, we can argue, yes, their constituency offices are doing a good job, and yes, they are. But unfortunately, the main business of an MLA is to legislate. They are not there. They are not legislating. And we are in crisis at the moment. Our health services are in crisis. Education services are in crisis. And the MLAs are not doing their job. And we really cannot afford to keep paying them for doing nothing.
Ross, thank you. Your line's not great. 03030 80 55 55. Stephen in Londonderry. Morning, Stephen.
Hello, how you doing, Stephen?
Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, well, I don't agree with your lead on to the programme there, because you're saying these people are intelligent. Could well be the case.
They are.
Listen,
a lot of them give me a hard time with their intelligence, but they are intelligent.
Yeah, okay, that's not about intelligence. It's not about cooperation. They can't get nothing through that farce of a talking shop up there. No, I forget about a talking shop because they don't even talk to one more. But it's a waste of $15 million. You're quite ready to highlight injustices as regards the health centre, no? That's a theft of from a public purse of $15 million, as far as I'm concerned. And you see the MLAs, or Sinn Féin, DUP, or anybody else, and they say, yeah, but we have to keep our constituency offices open. What did they do before this assembly was even up and running?
Well, there is a lot of constituency work that is done by these health centres opened anymore.
You know, if you're going to for advice, you go to a local advice centre. And that's where the champagne.
Stephen, there's a lot of constituency work done by these politicians. An awful lot of that bread and butter work.
But
you're not listening to me, mate. Listen to me, Stephen. Hold on a minute. Because we need to be fair to them. This man will not listen to me.
Go ahead.
There is a lot of constituency work done by these politicians, the bread and butter issues of someone needs help, because I've seen it, and you must be aware of it. So that constituency work is a vital part of the fabric of Northern Ireland that these politicians are still carrying out.
Well, I don't see it. I certainly don't see it here in Derry. If I'm looking for advice, I'll go. I certainly won't go to a Sinn Féin advice centre or an SDLP advice centre. I'll have to go and source out my own advice. And now that you're there too, Jimmy Bryson and Jim Tommy from Wazibli and Tommy did yourself to bring the MLAs on your show.
Stephen, just stop. So there's no intimidation. Nobody intimidates me or the Nolan team to get on the programme. We took an editorial decision very calmly and, in my view, rationally, that you needed to hear from Mr. Bryson. We make the same decisions around Mr. Bryson as we do anyone else that comes on the Nolan Show. And no one intimidates this programme, either to keep people off the radio or to put them on. And Mr. Bryson was, on this occasion that you're referring to, was articulating an anger that he perceived is in the loyalist community. And we felt that that was a voice, having done further research into it, that you all needed to hear. Full stop, bottom line, and the day I'm intimidated on this programme to the point where we do something we don't want to do is the day I will pack it in. Liz next. Morning, Liz.
Hello, Stephen.
Go ahead, Liz.
You were saying about these MLAs, if they're not working, they can't pay the mortgages.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what they do is they go on the dole like the rest of us. But then again, when you walk out of your job of your own accord, you don't get benefits.
So you have no sympathy, Liz?
Oh, God, no sympathy whatsoever. I mean, they're holding this country to ransom.
Well, not all of them walked out, of course. There would be quite a few MLAs would be desperate to get back into work.
No, they didn't all walk out. But, I mean, they can't work because the main people walked out. The only ones I see are working for us is the SDLP and the Alliance.
I think one of the other broader questions this morning is, if this is how some of you are feeling, will it change how you vote?
Oh, definitely.
Do you think it will, Brendan Mulgrew, change enough people's views of how it'll vote that the voting patterns in Northern Ireland might change?
Voting patterns are slow to change. We do hear this kind of call and claim in between elections that people are going to change how they vote based on what's currently happening, and then we often see the result of the polls. An assembly election is probably some time away, and the vote at that time will be in the context of whatever deal is put in place to get the assembly up and running. It's too far away to claim that people would change their voting allegiance. But there's a point that Ross Hussey made, Stephen. It's worth coming back on. He said that, in his view, if the assembly wasn't up and running within 6 months, that was the time to stop people's pay. Now, that might have a wee bit of validity if before the election, and when the election was called, if the NIO or whoever's the authority said then, before the poll, after this election, you've got 6 months to form a government. In that case, we will then stop the salaries or close down the assembly. That wasn't the case. That wasn't said. Even the reduction by 30%, which has taken place in salaries, that's probably legally challengeable. If I was an MLA, you could probably challenge that, because I don't know what the grounds for doing that. Now, I can't see one MLA doing that. It wouldn't be a popular move. But unless there's some basis set out beforehand, I think there's a legal question mark over whether or not you can just unilaterally stop someone's pay. But that's a whole other direction.
Let me go off on a tangent for a second, right? So the way the Nolan Show works is I come into the studio every day and there are a number of computer screens in front of me, and I see the volume of calls that are coming into the programme at any one time, and I see what everyone's saying, okay? So if I were to tell you that this is an issue that has every line into the building ringing off the hook, bang, from 9 o'clock this morning, what am I trying to say, Alan and Brendan, and to the rest of you? I'm trying to say that there is a deep appetite, if we use this programme as a barometer, for Northern Irish politics. There is an energy that drives programmes like this and drives Northern Ireland, where people want to get things done. So how come, and now to my point, how come it's not actually driving these politicians into getting back into government? How are the people not being as forceful in society as they are ringing into programmes like this, sending an unabated message to these people, Alan McQuillan, get back to work or else? Because they're not getting that message beyond, calling into a radio show.
I think there are two problems in this. The first one is the architecture of the St Andrews Agreement, because that's one of the things that I think is seriously at fault and needs to be revisited when we get an assembly stood back up again, because it encourages, and in fact it almost demands, sectarian politics and demands this continual fight between the two sides. And the second issue is the machine politics of the parties, because I've been up there for about 6 years working, and when you see the MLAs together, they're talking together, they're cooperating, they're keen to work together. The individual MLA is fine from all the parties, but they have to keep looking over their shoulder at the party management. And very often the party management is not the elected party management. It's other people in the background who we don't vote for.
And they're
the strategists.
The strategists, the spas, the individuals who really matter within the party infrastructure in a way that sometimes the MLAs don't. And we need to change that culture as well and get away from this machine politics towards trying to promote cooperation between the parties. Even, and I've raised this before on your programme, the entire even layout of the Stormont Chamber is an adversarial system. Them ones on that side, them ones on the other side, fighting over the table. And that whole setup up there encourages this idea of conflict.
Well, and I'll say I'll say it again about this other issue I've brought up this morning. I wonder how many of these MLAs have actually forgotten how a significant sum of money, a £50,000 a year, discounted at the minute to £33,000, actually is to the majority of people listening to programmes like this. I've just got a Snapchat in from a van driver who says, Stephen, £33,000 is 2.5 years' pay for me driving a van with overtime and working 50 hours a week. Now, there's the real world. David in North Belfast. Morning, David.
Hello, Stephen. Just 2 points. First, I can't believe what you actually said to the man, Billy, from Shankill.
Here we go.
You said to him, how is the MLAs going to pay their mortgage?
Yes.
Well, if I get 100 people generally like a taxi driver and all, and they don't go to work for 1,000 days, how would they pay their mortgage?
What do you mean, David? What's your point?
Well, I mean, you're saying they're not going to work and getting paid. If a taxi driver or nurse doesn't go to work and doesn't get paid, what would you say? Tell them, well, you're not going to work, so how are you going to pay your mortgage?
Well, it's not the same thing, mate, is it?
They're getting paid for doing nothing.
Because a taxi driver or a nurse, as you put it, the hospital's open, the nurse can choose to go to work, and the nurse goes to work. There are quite a few of these MLAs want to go to work, and we can't get the thing up and going again. That's not just their fault, David. Look in beneath the skin of this. This is our fault too. Yeah, Northern Ireland PLC, fault, yeah. It's our fault because we create a climate where we're insisting to one half of our...
You brought me on there to put a point and you're putting your point. Let me finish my points.
Oh, fair play, fair enough.
Right, my second point is, you also said about the DUP have got a red line, blah, blah, blah. No, the DUP didn't bring Stormont down. The DUP would be in Stormont now. It was Sinn Féin brought it down because they wanted a red line of an Irish Language Act to get back into government. The DUP didn't bring the Stormont thing down.
Well, Sinn Féin...
If the DUP had brought Stormont down and said, our red line is we're not giving an Irish Language Act, I wouldn't be arguing by saying, yes, they are at fault, but they're not.
Well, Sinn Féin had lots of reasons, they said at the time, for walking out of government.
You do that in England. Well, you could not bring it down in England. If it was a government,
Let me just remind ourselves, right? What Sinn Féin said at the time as to why they walked out of government. They said they were walking out because of RHI, and they were insisting that Arlene Foster stood aside. They then dropped that red line, and they were prepared to go back in. They did a U-turn on that. Sinn Féin were talking about the insistence on equal rights, which included gay marriage. They then dropped that as a red line. They did a U-turn on that.
Why can't they not drop the Irish language one?
Well, it's not for me to answer that, David, is it?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying is, the simple solution is, don't pay anybody who's not going into work.
Alex Maskey Alex Maskey on Nolan Live 2 or 3 weeks ago, when I asked him, because I pinned him on it, and I said, if you get an Irish Language Act, will you go back into government?
And he won't go back.
And he wouldn't commit to it. He said it would be close.
Right,
something
so
along
then
that
you're
language.
Actually saying that no matter what you do, they're not going to go back because it suits them not to go back. It's simple. And see if the DUP were in government too. I'll agree with you on one thing. See if they'd have said that there was something they didn't like or didn't want, they'd walk out too. It's a joke. It wouldn't happen in England. It wouldn't happen in any other part of the world bar here.
So what's the answer?
The answer is simple, direct rule. I don't want direct rule. But if it's the only way. The hospitals and the people over here are flipping, can't get hospital appointments, can't get nothing, all because these idiots decide, oh, I don't like that, I'm going to pull the government down.
I think one of the difficulties some people might argue they're going to have in the future is that when there is a local government, they're going to tell us what they're doing to improve our lives and how vital they are. Well, they can't have it both ways. What's the impact on our lives now that we don't have them?
Listen,
we either need them or we don't, in other words.
What's more important these MLAs, and no offense, I hope it doesn't come to it.
Well, the clue's in the title, member of the Legislative Assembly. They're neither assembling nor legislating.
Yeah, but say one of their grandchildren at the minute needed treatment for cancer or something like that, and they're sitting worrying about one Irish language and, oh, if somebody can marry a man or marry whatever. No, what's more important is to get back and to get this country up and going for people in need.
Do you think this is about, David, personality? That sometimes a personality comes into politics. I don't know. You look at, and whether you like his politics or not, you look at the presence that Obama had in his time. You look at the presence that Kennedy had. If we look at American politics, you look at sometimes, you know, Thatcher. Whether you like it or not, she was a big, big character. Martin McGuinness, Peter Robinson, Ian Paisley. Do we have that gravitas of politicians currently? And if we don't, do you think it could actually come down to the individual personality of a leader? That if we found somebody that was larger than life, and that could they unite this country?
Probably.
What I'm really trying to ask, David, is do you think that society in Northern Ireland is wanting to be united, or do we all still kind of?
I think the majority
kind of function on the fact that we're used to being divided, and we propagated ourselves.
It's our own fault, because you're absolutely. I don't always agree with you. It's down to this: people are afraid to vote different from green and red, white, and blue. Simple. That's what's wrong with this country.
Like John O'Dowd thinks he could do a better job, presumably, than Michelle O'Neill.
He probably could, yeah, probably could, because I don't know what she is. I don't know what she does. I'm being honest, I don't know what Arlene does, because what has she done since she's been in charge of DUP? Nothing.
Well, Arlene Foster would say that she's stood up for what they promised in their manifesto.
Well, look what happened when she got into bed with Boris. Look what happened over RHS. All these things that, being honest, if Peter Robinson had been in charge, wouldn't have happened.
That wasn't just Arlene Foster, to be fair to her, that got into bed with Boris. That was Nigel Dodds and the other MPs. Nigel Dodds and Arlene were walking in and out of number 10 with big smiles on their face until last week.
I know. Yeah, you're correct. Look, it's back there again. They won't vote because they're afraid. If you don't vote for the DUP, Sinn Féin will get in. And if you don't vote for Sinn Féin, the DUP will get in. That's exactly what's wrong with this country.
David, thank you. Let's pause there. We'll get the latest news. Just before we do so, by the way, Ulster Bank is experiencing delays applying credits to some customers' accounts. They say that they're working on it to fix the problem. We'll let you know if we find out more about this. But problems with some credits get into the Ulster banking system. The Ulster Bank system, should I say, this morning. We'll let you know about that when we find out more.